Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this Sunday as we gather together to worship, praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to remind everyone that the church picnic is going to be this coming Saturday at Burlholm Park. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. I had some maps to give out to for those of you who might need them. But the picnic is going to be from 12 to 5. Hope we have a good amount of people to come out to do nothing else but to enjoy a meal, share each other's company. But that's going to be next Saturday from 12 to 5 at Burlholm Park. So please plan to be with us there. There'll be some grilling. Someone will attend the grill. Maybe it'll even be me. hope to have you all there and look forward to that time of fellowship. There's other things going on, of course, at Omni Presbyterian Church. Please make sure that you read your bulletin and go to our webpage to stay abreast of everything happening here at Omni Presbyterian Church. Just a reminder that tomorrow we will be having our session meeting at 6:30. Is that 6:30 we'll be meeting both here. Hopefully we'll be meeting here, and for those of you who want to call in who can't make it, one of the things I'm concerned about now that we've been operating remotely in so many venues, it's true with all the meetings at the Presbytery and everything, no one wants to come out anymore and meet in person. Hopefully we can come out, meet in person for our session meeting, and again, we will be here at 6:30. Yeah, I discovered that this morning, so I know that. But we will find a way. Where there is a will, there is a way. So we will find a way to meet. Trustees are meeting too. I know. It's a party Monday. Yeah.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds in the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our New Testament reading is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that is given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
This Sunday is Trinity Sunday. This is the Sunday when it's Trinity, the fact that that God is known in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son. I had plan to do on the Trinity, but I was advised many, many years ago in seminary, never try to do a sermon on the Trinity. Always say that for Bible study. I've always punted particular Sunday, and I'll punt this Sunday as well. Instead of talking particularly about the Trinity, wanted to look a little bit at Paul's letter to the Romans. We're going to be looking at Paul this summer, Probably the book of Galatians, which I think is a timely book for our day and age. But I wanted to look at this text from this little snippet from Rome. It's I like it. I like what Paul says here in this little is that you and I have lied. We have been made part of the household of God's people. We are all part of the family of God. We have been made right with God. And because we are a part of the household of people, Paul, we are of hope. And hope, of course, is terribly important. In the book of Corinthians, Paul says there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and we want to talk a little bit about hope. Of course, we can't accuse Paul of being a syrupy sentiment, accuse Paul of wearing rose-colored glasses. We know very well that we live in suffering. We live in a world that's filled with hardship. Some of it, of course, is suffering simply from being human. Have our own particular hardships and afflictions that come simply from being human beings. And some of the suffering of that we bring on ourselves, we bring hardship and suffering, and whenever we worship something other than God, whenever we worship the idols of the world, we're suffering. We bring suffering upon ourselves, suffering upon some of the suffering that we bring on ourselves. But I think the suffering and hardship that Paul is talking about in our text this morning is the suffering that comes from being people of God. Paul knew that as God's people, as new creation people, that you and I exist in the overlap between the old world and the new world that is coming into being, the new world that has already been initiated through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul understood that we are people who belong to the new world. We are people of the new creation. You and I have God's Spirit, the Spirit of newness, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of love all over us. And yet, we still live in the old world. The old world that is still hanging on, the old world that doesn't like the newness. And that means that as people who stand at that intersection, who stand in the gap between the old world and the new world, that we will often experience suffering and hardship because of that. Paul himself suffered a great deal. He experienced a great many afflictions, a great many hardships for the sake of the gospel. There are people in the world today who suffer a great deal of hardship for the sake of the gospel. And yet Paul says something that is astounding here. He says that we boast in our sufferings. He says we boast in it because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And Paul says that's who we are. We are people of hope. Hope, of course, is what a lot of people in our world is looking for. Someone once said that one of the hallmarks of the modern age, our modern secular age, is that we are people without hope. There is no sense of transcendence. There is no mention of something bigger than ourselves, and we are people living without hope. I was listening to a journalist some time ago giving a speech at a prominent bookstore in Washington, D.C. He was promoting a book that he had just written, and he was painting in his speech a very dark and bleak picture about all the things that are wrong with the world. And he had a long, long list. I don't have to tell you about many of the things that are wrong with our world. But the journalist was laying all of it out, laying all the problems that confront us. climate change, the prospect, of nuclear conflagration, the polarization, economic polarization, the dysfunction that we experience in our politics. He had a whole litany of problems that he was laying out in his book, and he was speaking about it. And after his speech, there was a time for questions and answers. And there was one man who stood up and said, "Well, what about hope? Where's the hope?" And the journalist didn't have much of an answer for that. He was very brilliant in articulating what the problems were, but he really didn't have any hope that he could point to. And yet that's what people are looking for. They're looking for hope. Where's the hope? We should note this morning that hope is not the same thing as optimism. You know, optimism is based on circumstances. There may be good reasons for people to be optimistic. I heard a couple of people the other day talking about their optimism. They were talking about inflation, a couple of economists. They were talking about inflation, and they were optimistic that it would bottom out, that it would peak. That was before Friday, of course, when we heard the news that inflation has risen to a new high. But they were optimistic that something could be done about inflation. But optimism is often grounded in circumstances. Usually when people ask for hope, that's what they want. They're asking for reasons to be optimistic. But hope is what you have when you don't have any reason to be optimistic. Hope is what you have when everything has been lost, is what you have when there is no silver lining. It's what you have when the doctors say they can do nothing more for you. All you have left is your hope, not hope in a quick fix, not hope in a cure, but hope in a God who has all of our lives in his hands. Hope and the God who has made us promises of eternal life. Hope in the God who has promised that everything will one day be well. For some people, hope can appear to be ridiculous. We included in the bulletin this morning a copy of a G.F. Watts famous painting entitled Hope. In the painting, Hope is depicted as a woman sitting atop the globe. She is blindfolded, which means she's in the dark. She can't see. The future is uncertain. But the one thing that she has, the one thing that she is holding on to is her musical instrument, a lyre, I believe it is. It's what gives her life meaning. It's what gives her life purpose. It is what gives her hope. But if you look closely, the instrument only has one string. All of the rest of the strings have come unraveled. And yet the woman is clutching it. She is holding on to it. We can imagine her stroking it and plucking it again and again. That one string, that one chord, it's where she finds her hope. I imagine the people looking in on the outside, she looks ridiculous with clutching that stringed instrument with one string. And yet it's what gives her hope. And that's what the world is looking for. Where's the hope? Where's the hope for us? Where's the hope for you and me? Where's the hope for the world? What is our hope? Hope, of course, can also be dangerous. for some people. It is indeed dangerous. I was watching the movie, the Hunger Games, the other day. I always wanted to see that movie. Never found time to watch it, but I broke down the other day and watched it. And it's a movie about a futuristic political entity called Pan Am, where young people are chosen every year to battle to the death in order to escape a life of drudgery and hunger. But there's one clip in the movie when the president of Pan Am tells the chief games administrator that the reason they have a winner every year is to give people hope. The hope that they might be able to escape a life of hunger and poverty. Hope, he says, is the only thing that is stronger than fear. So we want people to have hope, but not too much of it, only a little bit of hope. Too much hope, he says, is dangerous. But that's what you and I are called to be this morning. We are called to be people of hope. We are called to be people who have hope, not just a little bit of hope, but we are called to be people with lots and lots of hope. That's what the Apostle Paul says. We are people of hope. Several years ago, I remember talking, being in a conference where a pastor and an elder were speaking about the experiences of their church. It was just a little small church in a rough section of the city. They didn't have a whole lot of resources, didn't have a whole lot of people. The community had changed around them, but they were determined that they were going to engage their community and do whatever they could to make a difference. And so they did whatever they could to make a difference. One of the people in the church made her presence felt at one of the local schools. The people constantly engaged their neighbors in many ways, but they were determined to make a difference. But as they were talking, someone in the audience asked them why they continue to do the work that they do when it doesn't seem to make any kind of difference. You're not making much of a dent in the community that you are operating in. It's still a community that experiences high rates of violence, still a community that experiences a great deal of drug use. Why do you do what you do? And I remember the elder speaking up and said one word: hope. We are called to be people of hope. Whenever we believe deeply, whenever we hope intensely, it's bound to be contagious. I was reading an essay this week by Edwina Gatley, and she was talking about some research that some Japanese scientists had did on microorganisms. And she said that the Japanese scientists discovered that about 10% of these microorganisms are negative. And the other 10%, she said, they found out were positive. But about 80% of these organisms, these microorganisms, were neutral. They were what they call wait and see organisms. And they tend to wait and to see which one of the extremes is going to be the strongest. And whichever is the strongest, whether it's the positive or the negative, whichever is the strongest, these wait and see microorganisms begin to gravitate towards the strongest. And she says that's what you and I are called to be. We are called to be people of hope. We are called to be people who believe deeply and who hope intensely. That's what it means to be the light of the world. That's what it means to be the salt of the earth. That's what it means to be God's people. It means to be people of hope. Indeed, Jesus himself said that. He said that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It grows and it grows and it grows. It grows because it is about hope. Hope that the world needs, hope that the world is looking for. Whenever there is hope, genuine hope, whenever people hope intensely, it's contagious. And that's who we are. The Apostle Paul says that we are people of hope. Of course, our hope is not just any hope. As the writer Frederick Buechner notes, our hope is ultimately hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope that he really is what for centuries we have been claiming he is, the hope that despite the fact that sin and death still rule the world, he somehow conquered them, the hope that in him and through him all of us stand a chance of somehow conquering them too, the hope that at some unforeseeable time and in some unimaginable way, he will return with healing in his wings. I like that, healing in his wings. That is what we're waiting for. That is what we hope for. We hope in a God who has promised that one day, everything that causes us estrangement, one day, everything that is a portent of death itself will be overcome. We are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return with healing in his wings. I'm sure that there are people out there who will say that's ridiculous. I know there are lots of people out there who perhaps will say that's dangerous. And I know some people out there will say, you guys are just wasting your time. You're not making any kind of difference. Why are you doing what you're doing? You're just wasting time. But you and I are here this morning because we know better. We are here this morning because we are people of hope. We are people who hope intensely and believe deeply. But the thing that's always intrigued me about hope is not the hope that we have in God. The thing that has always intrigued me about hope is that God seems to have a measure of hope in all of us. God seems to have placed some hope in you and me. All of us here at Olney Presbyterian Church, all of God's people, you and me, with all of our frailties, with all of our shortcomings, with all the ways that we somehow sometimes fall short, God is hoping in us. God has placed God's hope in us. God has connected God's self to this world. God has undertaken to redeem this world. God has given us everything. God has given us his Son. God has given us his Spirit. God has poured his love into our hearts. Creatures like you and me, creatures that, as we heard read in our psalm text this morning, God has created a little lower than God's self. God is hoping in us. And if that doesn't move us, then nothing else will. We are not just people of hope, but we are the hope. We are the hope for a world that is embroiled in all the ways of death. God has called us to be the hope of the world. And as the Apostle Paul himself says in our reading this morning, hope does not disappoint. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your gracious spirit in the midst of all of us, your people. We give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has come to show us what it means to be creatures made in the image, your image. And we give you thanks for the love that you have poured inside of all of our hearts, so that we might be the hope that you have called us to be. Lord, continue to help us here at Olney Presbyterian Church as we live into what it means not simply to be people of hope, but to be the hope that you have called us to be here in this community. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.